Now some news from the world of sports. Down 10 points in the fourth quarter, outplayed for the vast majority of the game. Their best receiving threat out of the game with concussion symptoms. Yep, the New England Patriots had the Jacksonville Jaguars right where they wanted them. We should not be surprised anymore, but each successive comeback victory, each improbable, sometimes seemingly impossible escape from the jaws of defeat has its own sense of drama. And the Patriots' 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars at Foxborough yesterday was another mini-thriller in the long chapter book of a franchise, player, and coach who are rewriting the history of the NFL before a fan base that can hardly believe their good fortune, while many more around the country are getting rather sick and tired of the narrative. But you have to give credit where it's due. Even if you equate Tom Brady and Bill Belichick with being the football versions of Darth Vader and Lord Voldemort, the Pats had lost Rob Gronkowski to a vicious helmet-to-helmet hit that left him dazed on the field. He did not return to the game. The NFL finally getting serious about concussion protocol following a hit, even if they have not yet figured out how to protect their players for the long term. In any event, without Gronk and with Brady constantly being pressured and hit by the fast and powerful Jacksonville defensive line, it did look grim for New England, especially facing a third down and 18 from their own 25, again trailing by 10 points. But Brady found a way, hitting Danny Amendola for a 21-yard gain and a first down, then 31 yards to Philip Dorsett for his only catch of the day, but a big one. And the drive kept going, culminating with a 9-yard toss to Amendola for a touchdown. Suddenly, it was a 3-point game. The Patriots' defense held on the next Jaguars' possession, then Brady went to work again, driving the Pats downfield and finding Amendola for the go-ahead touchdown. And this catch by Amendola was remarkable. Brady slinging a fastball that number 80 had to go airborne to snag while somehow keeping both feet in bounds at the very back of the end zone, even as the momentum from the throw was pushing him out. Let's not forget the other MVP play in a game chock full of them. The Jaguars would have scored a go-ahead touchdown of their own if not for a brilliant defensive play on their final drive by Stephon Gilmore, the Patriots cornerback who leaped in the air and with one hand smacked down a Blake Bortles pass on 4th and 15 that was ready to fall into the arms of wide receiver Dede Westbrook. If it had, he had have gone end zone for sure, ruining all of Brady's previous heroics. Just a great play by Gilmore, the biggest of his career to this point. Now, the game was finally secured when the Pats took over following that defensive gem, and Deion Lewis atoned for an earlier fumble by rushing for a first down on 3rd and 9, and the Pats were able to run out the clock from there. Yet another come-from-behind, how-did-they-do-it classic from the Patriots, who now go on for an unprecedented chance at a 6th Super Bowl victory. And this will be against the Philadelphia Eagles. And despite everything I've just said, I find it hard to believe that the Patriots are such overwhelming favorites for this game, given what the Eagles did to a very good Minnesota Vikings team yesterday. All the talk around the Eagles has been about whether backup quarterback Nick Foles can do what MVP candidate Carson Wentz was doing before he went down with a season-ending injury. But Foles looks more than comfortable in his role. Yesterday, he torched the Vikings for 352 yards and 3 touchdowns in Philly's 38-7 romp over Minnesota. The Eagles have a defense that mirrors Jacksonville in having fast and relentless defenders who can get to a quarterback quickly, and players like Patrick Robertson, who had a highlight reel 50-yard interception return for a touchdown yesterday. You just have to wonder if Brady can pull off yet another comeback win if the Pats fall behind against Philly in the big game. It will also be critical for the Pats to have Gronkowski available for the Super Bowl, but even with a 2-week chance to rest, he should not be allowed to play if there's any sign that his concussion symptoms have yet to abate. Meanwhile, I have to admit I was rooting for the Vikings, if only because it would have been cool to see for the first time a team playing on their home field in the Super Bowl, also because the Vikings have never won a Super Bowl despite being there 4 times. As said, the Eagles had never won a Super Bowl either, but they did win the NFL title back before it was called the Super Bowl in 1960. In the NBA, the Orlando Magic beat the Boston Celtics 103-95 yesterday, despite 40 points from Kyrie Irving. In the NHL, the LA Kings ended their 6-game losing skid, beating the New York Rangers 4-2. Locally, the UVM men's basketball team continues its best-in-the-nation conference winning streak, now 27 games without a loss against America East foes dating back to last year after the Catamounts beat Hartford 76-53 yesterday. Peyton Henson had a team-high 18 points for UVM in a game that was never in doubt. The Cats jumped out to an 18-3 lead in the first quarter, en route to their ninth straight win, upping their record to 16-5. UVM women were winners against their Hartford counterparts as well, 53-47. Hannah Krimble poured in 17 points to lead the way. St. Michael's College Alpine skiing junior Guillaume Grand placed third in the giant slalom for his fifth career podium at the college carnival at Sugarloaf Mountain. In other Nordic ski events, Paul Reckberger's first individual collegiate win helped lead Castleton, the men's alpine ski team, to a third place in the giant slalom event at Ragged Mountain Sunday. Also at Ragged Mountain, the Castleton University women's alpine ski team placed second out of 10 competing schools, and the Castleton men finished in fourth place. Andrew Siegel of Vermont won Sunday's individual competition with a time of 19:17, just 5 seconds faster than Charlie Maitland of Clarkson, the only other racer to break the 20-minute barrier, and that occurred in the 7-kilometer classical event Sunday at the Castleton Invitational.